I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Time is the enemy when it comes to climate change and climate change negotiations. The clock is ticking as negotiators meet this week in Barcelona, Spain. It's the final week of talks before a global climate summit next month in Denmark. That's when nearly 200 countries will try to agree to deep cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. But as the world's Marina Giovanelli reports, time may be running out on prospects for an agreement this year.
It's been seen as zero hour for climate change. Amid a growing sense of scientific urgency, world leaders agreed 2 years ago to meet in Copenhagen this December to finalize a new climate treaty. Now the deadline is approaching and the heat is on.
We cannot afford to fail.
That's British Prime Minister Gordon Brown speaking at the Major Economies Forum last month.
If we fail now, we will pay a heavy price. If we act now, if we act together, if we act with vision and resolve, success at Copenhagen is still within our reach. But if we falter, the Earth will itself be at risk, and for the planet, there is no plan B.
Climate scientists around the world back Brown's sense of urgency. Reams of new scientific data suggest that climate change is moving even faster than was thought. But science and diplomacy each have their own timetables.
Unfortunately, I think it was unrealistic from the start to expect that we would get to a final agreement in Copenhagen.
That's Elliot Duringer of the Pew Center on Global Climate Change.
Perhaps the major constraint on these negotiations is the fact that the U.S. isn't ready to put numbers on the table and sign on to a binding commitment.
The U.S. never adopted the 1997 Kyoto Climate Treaty, and it remains the only developed country without a plan for emissions cuts. But the U.S. is the largest historic emitter, so much of the world expects it to take the lead. A climate bill is pending in the Senate after narrowly passing the House earlier this year. But prospects for the bill are uncertain. And the Obama administration says it won't commit to an international deal without the backing of Congress. One reason for reluctance in Washington is the fact that China and other developing countries won't commit to specific cuts in their emissions. This, despite the fact that China recently passed the U.S. as the largest annual greenhouse polluter. But China's position is starting to soften.
We're seeing China for the first time act on curbing its growth of carbon emissions. It announced plans to implement some sort of carbon intensity target going forward till 2020.
That's Julian Wong of the Center for American Progress. He's referring to China's recent announcement of aggressive new clean energy targets that would sharply reduce its emissions growth. India has announced similar plans for its booming economy. The moves are part of the pre-Copenhagen diplomatic jockeying. But the issue of which countries should make what kinds of commitments is unresolved, and it remains the biggest stumbling block to a deal. Another big sticking point is financing. Richer countries are responsible for most of the greenhouse pollution to date, so poorer countries argue that rich countries should help pay for the global transition to a cleaner economy. The issue of how much aid should be provided and on what terms also remains an open question, and it's unlikely to be resolved in the next few weeks. For many observers, the growing likelihood that there won't be a deal in Copenhagen is setting up the U.S. as the fall guy. But Julian Wong says it's important to remember that Congress and the Obama administration have had to make up a lot of ground on the issue.
The U.S. is moving very quickly to recover from 8 years of inaction on the climate change front. So I think that there needs to be some realistic expectations on how quickly the administration and the government can move.
Such realism, observers say, means looking beyond Copenhagen to what British Prime Minister Gordon Brown might call a Plan B. Robert Stavins, who directs Harvard's Environmental Economics Program, says negotiators might settle on the basic outline of an agreement in Copenhagen and then hammer out a detailed agreement next year.
I don't see Copenhagen as being the do-or-die moment. You know, there's a cliche that's used about the American baseball season that really applies to climate policy, and that is, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
For The World, I'm Marina Giovanelli.